Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
And we're hot.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our hula hoop. We will be your constants. I am Dez, and Ari will be with us shortly. And this is
Time Pop.
Welcome to a very special episode of Time Pop. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is episode zero. Ari and I got together over a year and a half ago, and recorded this episode. It was supposed to be the beginning of a wonderful thing. And then the very next day, my life got flipped, turned upside down. Oh, wait, wrong sitcom. We're doing Family Matters today, not The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anyways, yeah, if this is your first time listening to Time Pop, please stop right now. Go find another episode to listen to. Get to know us a little bit before you come down this path with us. It's pretty good, but it's not really super representative of our flow of how we work through movies and get to some topics that are interesting to talk about. This is really us just trying to hammer out the details and see if there's anything here that we can work with. Thankfully, months and months later, Ari and I were still excited about this. I've had this nugget in the back of my brain for years and years and years, and having Ari as my co-host has really turned this dream into a reality, having such a great person to talk to these movies about on a weekly basis and shine some light in these dark holes that we come across in these wonderful movies. So enjoy the show and come back, listen to some other episodes in our catalog, and come back next Wednesday for a slightly more polished episode. Yeah, this episode has got some technical difficulties on top of, us just working out our patter. So I apologize for that. I've gotten much, much better. Again, if this is the first episode you've listened to, this is not representative of what we sound like on a week-to-week basis. So we will see you next Wednesday on a much better episode of Time Pop.
All right, welcome to Time Pop, the podcast where we discuss all things time travel related within pop culture. This will sometimes include movies, books, audiobooks, video games, and the like. Today we are discussing the highly anticipated Family Matters episodes 8-16 and 8-24, the finale of that season, where well, we'll get into that in a minute. My name is Desmond McNeese, and along with me is my wonderful co-host,
Ari Galah.
There we are. Welcome, Ari. Thank you very much. You are obviously in this with me to suffer through these episodes. I shouldn't say suffer. They're not that bad, but I wanted us to have a nice softball to start this difficult topic with, but they really put the train wheels on for us.
I'm excited. This is going to be fun. You started with an easy, but also really fun first popular culture time travel show.
Yeah, and I love it too, because this episode came by, I threw it out just as an option, like, I don't know, maybe a Family Matters episode, and then I had to follow that in, and I'm glad that it exists, and I'm glad we could watch it. But yeah, we'll just jump right in. This jumps right into, that was one of my favorite parts of the episode. Within 4 seconds, Steve Urkel, boom, appears as if from nowhere. We don't know how he got there.
Can I just say, I really like the special effect that they use for the time travel. It's like this bubble, like when he's going somewhere, the bubble goes inward from like right in the crotch area.
Does it actually go both ways?
Yeah.
Like, depending on whether when you're coming and going?
Yeah, when they're going away, I guess, it like starts a bubble inward, like it bends time around right where the crotch is. It's great. And you'll see a couple of times him and whoever else he's with, they start to do like the hula dance because it's right in the crotch.
Yes.
They time travel starts within your genital area is really what it is in this show. But it's a cool effect. It kind of bends inward and they disappear, and then it's the opposite when they appear.
That's so funny, because I could not pay attention to which direction the wormholes were going, because all I noticed was the hula dancing.
Right.
That's all
I do a hula dancing.
Especially when it's so pronounced.
Here he goes.
When
right, yep, see hula dancing, wiggle right in. I guess it's more the stomach, that one.
And the effect works well with it, because yeah, he starts hula dancing a little bit. So this episode starts with one of the great, I don't know if trope is right, because I feel like trope is a bad thing, but Steve Urkel doesn't know he invented time travel yet, because he hasn't time traveled. So when we first see Steve Urkel, that's the time traveling Steve Urkel, and then he disappears, and then the now Steve Urkel walks into the room. The one who has not yet time traveled.
And he's really excited that he did it.
And he's excited, yeah. But he doesn't know. And then Carl tells him, by the way, you invented time travel. And he says, oh, wow, it works. And then that causes Steve Urkel to actually test his time travel device.
Right. So apparently in the Family Matters universe, things like this are pretty common for Steve Urkel. Like, they mention that he has teleported, and they mention that he's done all these kind of crazy scientific things. So this is fairly normal. Like, nobody's really surprised. They all of us, yeah. He's like, okay, you've time traveled. Cool.
Yeah, between the first episode and the second episode, time travel becomes very commonplace.
Yeah.
I don't know if I didn't watch the episodes in between. I don't know if there's a light mention to it or anything. These were the only two episodes that came up in the time travel episodes. But yeah, in the episode 24, they're just like, oh, he's always popping back to here and there. You know what it reminded me of is Family Guy.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. Because yes. I have to say, I kind of like when a TV show that has nothing to do with science or science fiction does something like this. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden their episodes are completely different, which I know we're probably going to cover the Family Guy time travel episodes.
Most definitely.
Yes.
Most
good. Very glad about that. Series. Love those episodes.
And
cool.
As far as I know, they're going to keep them coming too. So
cool.
That'll be a nice deep well. Yeah. Did you want to have anything else to add?
They do mention, I think there's a quick line in episode 24 where they say he combined his teleportation device with his time travel device.
Oh.
So everybody's very used to Steve Urkel doing crazy scientific things.
We watched the one other episode we watched because it was so popular and Kelly remembered it. So we fired it up after the time travel episodes was the cool Steve, the Stefan Urkel episodes where he drinks an elixir and becomes cool. And again, yeah, no one flinched at that. They're just like, yeah, that's what Steve
does. That's what happens. That's what happens in Steve Urkel's world.
Takes potions and elixirs. This is a very, appears to be a much more absurd TV program than I knew it to be. This program existed in my TV-less zone, what little time I had as a growing young man, not watching TV. This show is right in that black hole. So I just don't know it at all. I obviously know Steve Urkel. Anyways, so
let's talk
back
about
to the important part.
Yeah, let's talk about
time travel. So
the synopsis of this episode. For those of you who haven't seen this episode, what happens is, you want to take it away?
Steve Urkel invents time travel and he convinces Carl to go back with him. They are apparently buddies also. That's another thing I didn't understand about this program. Like, he and Carl are just going on adventures all the time.
Oh yeah, they're like the best friends.
So there, it doesn't take much convincing, but he convinces Carl to go back in time to change something. So Carl devises a plan. We don't really know what it is yet, but he devises a plan to go back to...
I know, the specific date.
Speaking of dates, we watched this episode on March 8th.
Did you?
2018.
What's the date today?
Today's March 9th.
Oh, I did too!
Last night, on March 8th, we watched...
That's awesome that worked out that way. Yeah, so Des and I watched this episode on March 8th, 2018, and the date that Carl chooses, so Steve Urkel basically leaves it up to Carl to choose a date to go back to, and Carl chooses March 8th, 1976. So cool.
Why is this date important?
Why is this date important in history?
Yes.
For us?
Yes.
It's our first episode? No.
No.
Tell
I am
us.
Born on December 24th, 1976.
Oh, fun.
So December 24th minus March 8th, however you want to do that math, about 9 months.
Get
so
out of town.
I'm concerned. Steve Urkel and Carl Winslow traveled back to my inception date.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Conception.
There we go. I knew I wasn't
conception date.
Saying that right.
Okay, so anyway, back to the synopsis of this episode.
So they go back to March 8th, 1976, the date that they move into the Winslow home.
Oh, wait, before we continue anymore, the reason that Carl chose that date. So the episode opens with Carl paying the bills. So the episode starts with Carl's grumpy about paying the bills, and every month he does this, and they feel like he has no money, and he's turning down all the lights and he's saving food, and it's this big thing about they're spending too much money. So when Steve Urkel asks him, what date do you want to go back to, Carl chooses March 8th, 1976, because that is the day they bought their house.
So they go back to this date. Now, this time travel device leads me to believe that there are copies in 1976 now.
Why do you think that?
I feel like the way they show time travel is of your physical body is being beamed, teleported. Like the fact that they even mentioned that he mixed his teleportation with his time travel device. But it's never addressed. I mean, it doesn't become an issue. They're not trying to dodge themselves. But I'm wondering, do you feel the same way? Do you feel like there's copies, or do you think they're traveling back in time within their body?
I see. So when they travel, is there a copy of them still in the present?
No.
What do you mean by a copy?
No. So now that they're back in time, this is 2018, Carl and Steve, right? They just traveled back in time.
Mm-hmm.
So where is 1976 Carl?
Oh, I see. Yes. So they both exist. The old Carl and the time-traveled Carl exist in the same time. Yes.
Do you agree with that? Even though they don't make it an issue in this episode.
And even though they don't encounter.
Yes.
Okay.
And Steve is still a glimmer in his daddy's eye, so he can't run into himself in 1970.
True.
But Carl could.
I see. So a copy. So you consider that a copy? As far as time travel theory and rules go.
I actually don't like the term copy.
Okay. We'll come up with a better term. Yeah. We're going to have all of our... Well, yeah, that's good. Doppelganger. We'll come up with what you would call that, because there are going to be episodes of where you encounter yourself in the past.
There will be terminology that we can count on.
Yes. We're going to invent it. Down some terms. Yes. If it doesn't already exist.
Things. These words mean things. So they go back in time. What does Carl do?
Carl writes a letter to himself. We don't know what's in the letter. And he, while Steve Urkel is off exploring, he sticks the letter in a basket that he knows his past self will find. And then they go back to the present.
They go back to the present, and the present is changed. And this is where
things get fun.
We talked for just a second off mic about this, but this is where they're using time travel, I feel, to tell a different story. This is almost a time travel version of Ghost of Christmas Future, I feel like, showing Carl what his life would have been like had he been rich.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's not a ghost, it's time travel.
Except it's time travel. Exactly. Right. But using because I like it when time travel is about time travel.
Me too.
Why I'm into it. And I want that to be the main thing. I want unraveling the knot you tie from goofing around with time. I want that to be what it's about, not Carl's poor life decisions.
Right.
Which is what this ultimately ends up, or not. It actually comes down to him making very great life decisions. He married his love. He's poor. He's poor in money, but rich in love.
Right.
You know.
Which ends up being kind of the theme of the episode. So can I just point out that I kind of really want Steve Urkel's time travel watch. If you haven't seen this episode, it's this like huge red light with all these buttons and a big antenna that's sticking out from it. And it's powered by a nuclear battery with plutonium that he got from Radio Shack.
I wrote down Radio Shack and I was rewatching it and I was trying to figure that out. So that's what he's in 2018. He says, I got to run down a Radio Shack.
Well, okay. You keep saying 2018, and this was definitely filmed in like the 90s because Clinton was president. We should really look into when exactly.
I watched it. Okay.
96. That's when Clinton was president, right? In the 96?
Yeah. 92 to 2000.
We'll kind of make a little.
I think this was 98-ish.
Yes. So Carl asks, how do you power your device? And he said, with a nuclear battery. And he says, where'd you get the plutonium? And he's like, Radio Shack. And Carl's like, okay.
That's normal.
Yeah. Okay, so where were we? They come back to the present and everything's changed.
Carl's a billionaire.
Apparently, turns out the note that he wrote himself...
Yes. Microsoft.
What else did he say? Microsoft. We should have wrote this down. He told him to invent like Microsoft, like Malibu Barbie, I remember was one of them.
One of the Barbies.
And something else. Like four things. And then because of that, he is a multi-billionaire.
Yes, he is. And he has butlers and human art pieces. And he removed the Sears Tower.
He removed a tower because it was blocking
his
view.
Yes.
And he, so they go to his like penthouse at the top of some big tower.
Probably his, Winslow Tower.
Winslow,
right. I think it's actually called Winslow Tower.
And Carl's elated. He's so happy that he's a billionaire.
He's got his 3 o'clock donut. He's got an amazing view. But.
But. Dun dun dun. His wife comes home.
Aww.
And this is where his life unravels.
No. She's going to divorce him.
She's divorcing him.
And she's taking not one, not two, but all of the Ferraris.
All of the Ferraris.
I don't know what else she's taking, but she's taking all of the Ferraris.
And that's another thing. Can I just interject with, this is one of my favorite time travel subgenres where you go back in time, change something, and then the future's different. I love that. This is one of my favorite topics within time travel. But most of the time that they do this, you go back to the present and you have no memory. You've changed everything and you don't, because in this subgenre, you don't remember your life.
Yeah.
You don't remember how you became that millionaire. So he didn't know where he lived. He also didn't remember that he doesn't have kids now.
Yes.
Which is such a fun thing to think about. Like, okay, memories. And you know, the fun thing about time travel is you get to make up your own rules because it's not a real thing. Yet, I believe one day in the future, it's going to be a real thing.
We'll get there.
Yes.
Secret agendas.
So you get to make up your own rules in time travel. And in this one, the rule that they have decided is you don't have those memories. You change the past, and when you travel to the present, you don't have the memory of that entire life.
Well, and this is where we come back to, the listeners could see me, I'm actually trying to draw this.
He's drawing
my 4 points of, so he goes back, again, this is where the copies come from. Is he mental time travel or copy time travel? And there's a possibility that there are now two of him in 2018.
96.
This happened now. I see everything from my point of view.
This happened right now on March 8th.
Family Matters, season finale, 2018. So
90 whatever.
Carl goes back. There's two Carls in 76. He splits the timeline. So when he comes back to 1996, there's now two. Well, no, I guess if you split the timeline, that's different. So there aren't two of him here, but there are now officially two timelines.
So are there two timelines? Because that's another subgenre of time travel, is branching off into a completely different timeline, but the original timeline continues. They don't mention anything of that. When I was watching this, I pictured it as a singular timeline that they went back, changed, and then continued on the same timeline.
Unbreakable. Only one exists.
Okay. That's how I perceived this.
Yeah.
Did you perceive it differently?
I didn't think about it until right now.
Okay.
But yeah, I think when you go back and leave a breadcrumb, the timeline splits.
Okay.
That's what I think.
And again, there are no rules in time travel. So it is completely up to the viewer and how they perceive it.
Let us know.
So I saw it as a single timeline.
You saw it as a single timeline. And a single timeline with copies. So no splitsies.
So the whole copies concept is a whole thing we could get into as far as the theoretical scientific.
In this exact Family Matters episode, do you think there were two Carls in 1976 for a time?
I do. Okay. In most time travel, I believe when you go back in time, or I like to choose, unless they tell me otherwise.
And that's what I was going to thinking about too. Like, I don't, the timeline thing doesn't matter till it matters. And I think most writers keep that in their back pocket as long as they can.
Yeah.
Until they have to form two definitive timelines. Since we're into this, I'm going to jump way ahead. I know we're kind of going through this in order, but I think this can of worms has opened up. And since the functionality of time travel works the same in both episodes, time in the present from whence they left in 1996, when they go back in time, they don't mention it too much in the first episode, but they do mention it in
the next time travel episode.
The next time travel. Time continues to move at normal pace because they're worried about them being late for dinner.
Right. So in the next episode that we're going to talk about, yes. They do that.
Yes, they have a time machine. They've gone back 300 years, but they can't go back 20 minutes to make dinner on time.
Interesting. So there are two, you know, the quote unquote rules of time travel, right? Mm. Very flexible, depending on the writer, what they want to choose or omit. And in the second episode, we're going to talk about, yeah, the current timeline continues. Mm-hmm. But in the first episode, this one that we're talking about now, it almost seems to freeze because they pop back into time. Or do they? Because when he pops back, they're all watching TV and he's so happy to see them, right? He starts hugging everybody. So maybe in both episodes, the current timeline does continue.
I think it is, because I think in the first one, they...
So here, we'll give you the quick synopsis. He realizes... That in the past,
yes,
he has no kids. His wife is about to divorce him. No matter how much money he has, he doesn't have his family who he loves and adores, right? So then Steve and Carl go back to that original day where he wrote himself the note and they correct it. And then when they go back to their present.
But they did something, the correction did something else that I loved. This actually did something really, really well. The remembering something weird from the past and putting it together.
Yes.
That was your future self saying. That leaving you clues, or not even clues, maybe just a mess, and you had to dig through the mess. Go ahead.
Okay, so for the listeners, yes. We're getting so excited about this because this is what us time travel geeks geek out about, is the little tiny cookies that they leave you.
Actually using time travel as... the device, as the weapon, or not the weapon.
Or the solution to how they get back or whatever. Yeah. So what happens is, after Carl realizes that his life is not better as a multi-billionaire, Steve and Carl go back to that March 8th, 1976 day, and they rip up the note. Carl rips up the note, and he says, no more. And then, as they're trying to go back to the present, Steve Urkel's super cool, which I want one of these, time travel watches runs out of battery.
No.
They do their little hula dance and nothing happens. And then they do their little hula dance again and nothing happens. And Steve's, you know, like, oh, I ran out of power. And they're like, oh no, what do we do? And then Carl remembers that when he bought the house, there were extension cords and aluminum foil everywhere.
Extension cords, aluminum foil, a roll of duct tape,
and a
half-empty jar of peanut butter.
Yeah, and a sandwich or something like that.
Yes.
Which wasn't there when they first went back in time.
Before the note existed.
Right.
Yes.
So then Steve Urkel, being the smart genius that he is like, that means that I charged my watch and you had a sandwich. He says something funny along those lines.
Yeah, I have a brilliant idea. Yeah. You ate a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then...
they use those to charge
his watch.
We
don't really see. I just realized, you don't see him plugged in anything. I don't know how
Steve
Urkel... turned
there's
AC
extension,
into nuclear power.
There's extension cords everywhere.
There are extension cords.
And Carl's
everywhere.
Eating a sandwich, and they go, okay, we're ready, let's go. Which is, you know, you turn regular electricity into plutonium powered.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
Yep,
no problem.
Yep. You know, we bend the rules a little bit of
yes.
science. So they go back to the present and everything's great. But that does introduce the idea of that has already happened, the time loop. That when the original date of him buying that house, there were extension cords everywhere. So it represents and correct me if this is the wrong terminology, the wrong time travel terminology, is that has already happened. So
what has happened has happened.
Has already happened.
And will always happen.
Yes. Which is a very common time travel theory. So I don't know if that's considered a closed loop. This is time travel terminology that we have to iron out. Is it a closed loop or is it jumping different timelines because they went back to the original date and there are cords there.
Yeah.
The first time they went back, there were no cords because they changed the timeline. The minute Carl decides to put that letter there.
Because you mentioned memory too. So
there's no memory of it.
Yeah. The first time Carl, the memory of the that makes my brain hurt.
I love already. That though.
That's so great.
I love
it's like a snake of extension cords.
Yes. But the thinking about this idea that isn't a real thing and someone else's rules and their take on time travel, it makes my brain pulse a little bit. It's like an exercise and I love it.
It is. It's such a
This is why I love time
puzzle,
travel.
A puzzle.
A puzzle that's not real.
So they survive. It's a couple episodes later. Apparently, this episode starts off. This is the season finale, season 8,
mm-hmm.
big time. And this episode starts posing that yeah, Steve Urkel just time travels all the time. This
yeah,
is the,
everyone's just place. Normal.
When he's not around, it's not where he went, it's when he went. Mm-hmm. They just always assume. So he's doing his thing and he comes back. Very Marty McFly looking when he finally appears after the episode starts and they're wondering where he is. He shows up wearing Marty McFly's cowboy outfit.
with arrows stuck in him everywhere and an accordion.
It's so beautiful. And then again, this show has turned into a buddy show, the Carl and Steve show. And so the whole episode just turns into what adventure are they going to go on.
So there's a quick mention. So we're talking now about Family Matters episode, season 8, episode 24. There's a quick mention in this episode. They talk about so casually that Steve Urkel has combined his teleportation device with his time travel device because you can see that his watch is different.
Oh, it is.
It looks different. This one has like a white light on it that like pulses.
Huh.
So he has upgraded his time travel device.
Jumping off of this watch. That thing is amazing.
I want one.
Both of them are amazing. And I would have killed to be the guy who just got to go through the prop room and just glue stuff together.
That's exactly what they
put did. Put lights on it. And I would love to see all those individual pieces and what weird old video games they were stealing from and big calculators. So yeah, so Steve's transporting, time traveling all over the place. And now he really needs a buddy. Where does Carl want to go?
So in the very beginning of this episode, Carl and his son are watching an old movie about sailing. And Carl just loves it. And he's like, it's so cool. I wish I could do that. So when Steve asks Carl, where should we go? Naturally, Carl says, to a big ship back in 1700.
Yeah, I kept thinking they were going to go to a historic ship. Like they kept on being kind of specific. And then at the end, they just went to a boat.
Yeah.
In the 1700s.
So that creates another time travel theory or time travel rule is you time travel in this universe, they go where specifically wherever they want, which is a boat in the middle of the ocean. They have very good aim. Right?
I thought that too. Yeah, the first one makes it seem like the first episode we discussed, because yeah, they keep jumping from living room to living room.
The same exact so living room.
So you feel like, yeah, you're jumping from that point in time. And I that's where the teleportation comes in. These writers thought about this. They could have just mm-hmm. kept the same time travel,
mm-hmm.
but they actually thought about it. Like, no, he's not traveling through time from the same point in time. Mm-hmm. We have to address this.
Mm-hmm. He's also traveling in a location.
And they did.
So that was pretty good on the writer's half. They kind of snuck it in there. They didn't do any explanation, but they just kind of snuck in that they're not only time traveling, but they're teleporting from their living room to a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I'm assuming.
Captain Nicholas Hightower's ship.
Yes.
Is who they,
which the, turns out to be a pirate ship.
The Rusty Raven.
Ooh.
The Rusty Raven is the ship, the pirate ship that they land on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are immediately recognized as sorcerers.
Yes.
As they have appeared as if from nowhere.
Yes.
On this pirate ship.
So this episode is your classic go back in time, experience what it was like back then, and then mm-hmm. somehow get back to the present, which is a subgenre.
Period piece.
It's a period time piece. It's period a historical piece. Period piece
yeah.
of time travel.
Yes. And it's a classic, simple yes. sitcom device yes. just to change the setting.
Yes. yes, yes, yes.
And so, yeah, so we just kind of go back and hang out with some pirates
yeah.
for a little while. Again, real time is continuing to tick. And what appears to be a week or so on this ship. Like when I first was watching it, a week or two, a month or so, turns out in real time to be about 45 minutes, hour and a half tops.
Because before they left, Carl made sure to tell his wife that he'll be home in time for dinner that night.
They have an important dinner. But instead, so because of their sorcerer recognition, they go from being having to walk the plank to now the pirates have formed a mutiny against Nicholas Hightower, and they now want Captain Carl, aka Captain Big Guy, to be their new captain.
Mm-hmm.
He is immediately instated as captain. Again, we've been on the ship for 4.5 minutes. They've survived. He's captain. And they just kind of pirated up for a mm-hmm. while.
So there is a part in this episode, as you can see right there, they took a picture with all the pirates with a Polaroid camera. And there's one little very obvious part where the old captain takes this picture and he puts it in his pocket.
Really? I did not notice that.
It literally just happened, if you want to rewind it. We're watching this episode as we're talking to you, so we're going to confirm what just happened. See, watch.
There we go.
He's showing him the picture.
Captain's looking at it.
And they say, what sorcery is this? He takes the picture, and as you'll notice, he very swiftly pockets the picture.
Yes, he does.
And they never address that.
Oh, all right. Fan fiction. Nicholas
what happened?
Hightower fan fiction.
So they're enjoying themselves being pirates aboard this ship. And Carl especially is enjoying being the captain. And then...
What does Carl miss most?
Well...
Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes.
Oh. Well, what happens is, in true Steve Urkel fashion, he accidentally loses his time travel watch.
Did I do that?
Yay! I feel like they should have that in every episode of Family Matters.
I think it's there.
It wasn't there in episode
really?
16. He never said, did I do that?
I don't think we got a cheese or anything in that one.
Mm-mm.
That was the dark, dark day for Family Matters.
But they do say
also,
it in episode 24.
In true Steve Urkel fashion, when he makes something he likes, he also makes one for his love.
Is that a true Steve Urkel? Because
it's Laura that has it, right?
His girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Who he loves deeply and would do anything for. I watched, in preparation for this podcast, I watched a couple other episodes just to get in the mood.
I did not.
I've seen plenty of bits and pieces, so I watched the first episode that Steve Urkel ever appears in. He doesn't appear in this show until episode 12 of season 1.
Really?
There are 11 Urkel-less episodes of this show that I can't imagine how painful they are.
Them
trying to find their legs. And he shows up.
And saves the show.
He shows up just for an episode or two. Like, he's just supposed to be Laura's nerdy boyfriend that takes her to the dance, and it's supposed to be hilarious, and then we never see him again.
Interesting.
And then he shows up for a couple more episodes, and then it's not until season 2 that he becomes the show.
Literally the show. When you think of Family Matters, the first thing that comes to your head should be, did I do that?
When he got some cheese.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I did not know that.
So his whole major arc is him falling in love with Laura. Which, spoiler alert, so I accidentally, thinking I was watching a time travel episode, I started watching the series finale, and it's him lost in space trying to get back to Laura to marry her.
Is it Steve Urkel or is it his alter ego, Stefan?
Oh, it's Steve Urkel. Oh, she falls in love. It's the Stefan Urkel one, I think, where she truly falls in love with Steve, because that's when she realizes that through all of his nerdiness and geekiness, his honest love for her is, I'm gonna tear up. Family Matters.
And it took 9 seasons for her to realize that.
Oh, I don't know how long they were engaged. Like, I don't...
There are only 9 seasons in the show, right?
Yeah, but I assume they fell in love around 5 or 6 or something like that. But it's pretty funny, too. In season 9, they had to cancel the show because his voice finally broke. Like, in season 8, he can still do a good Steve Urkel. In season 9, he's like, did I do that?
Puberty finally hit.
Yeah, it hit him late and it hit him hard.
That's hilarious. So back to the synopsis of this episode.
A Pirate's Life.
Which is entitled A Pirate's Life. So Steve Urkel loses his time travel watch and they are stuck in the past, which is a very common time travel.
They're going to be here forever.
Storyline.
No more hot showers for Carl.
Right. That's the thing he misses the most.
Freaking out about. not the fact that he's probably going to die in any moment from anything, but the fact that he can't get a hot shower. But Urkel, Steve, is very happy he'll never have to suffer through another Pauly Shore film. So, you know, he can always see the bright side of everything. So good for him.
So back in the present.
Oh my gosh, dinner's coming. Mm-hmm. The boys aren't home yet. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? And of course, everyone knows they're time traveling. This isn't a secret.
Yeah.
Where are they? They're like...
They're off somewhere in time.
1704, just doing their thing.
Nobody cares.
So Laura gets out her teleportation time travel device, grabs a couple of the gang, says, hey, let's go get them. No big deal. And again, they seem to know exactly where they're going.
Mm-hmm. And when.
And these 3 young women are just going to go to a pirate ship.
Do the hula dance. They're doing the hula dance. Gotta do the hula dance.
The dead, I love the look in their eyes. You can just see them looking at the director like, okay, right here.
So, yep, conveniently, the girls go back to tell them that they're late for dinner and pretty much have to save the day.
And they do.
And there's a big fight scene that happens with their pirates.
Oh, the fight scene is long.
It's quite long. Oh, my gosh. And lots of choreography needed to go into that. It turns out they want to steal their time travel device to sell it and basically just kill them. So.
Oh, is that what they're...
Yeah.
I didn't realize
they wanted to sell the time travel watch. And then they come up with a plan to distract the pirates. And then
do a little dance
and then the big fight scene love. Yeah,
and then the big fight scene that has a great Donkey Kong barrel roll in it.
Oh yes,
which was very cool.
The barrel's down the staircase.
Yes, takes them all out. Very well choreographed. Yeah, it looks like dancing quite often,
swinging on ropes.
Very very long. Yeah, it's a hilarious battle scene in the middle of this sitcom.
And so the catch for this time travel device to be able to teleport everybody back home is that they all have to be touching each other.
Do they say that?
Yes.
Okay, that's another thing that I missed. And I, because that's, so yeah, they, so Steve's watch is gone forever. Laura's here. They're battling. Oh, so I guess the pirates win. It didn't occur to me right now that the pirates win this fight because.
Yep, the pirates win this fight and they capture them.
And they're going to make them walk the plank one at a time.
One at a time. And they smartly use reverse psychology to make them walk the plank together.
How would they use their 1900 wit on these poor,
like, over the
1700s?
Top.
They say, well, I sure hope they don't make us walk the plank together, because that would be awful.
That would be the worst thing.
I could, of all the ways to go, I would hate it if they made us walk the plank together. So Nicholas Hightower says, you know what we're going to do? Your worst fears are going to come true. We're going to make you walk the plank together. All of them get on the plank together, touching.
And their famous last words are,
so long, sucker.
So long, suckers. And there they go. Do the hula dance and pop.
And the captain goes overboard. Hilarious ending. What a great pratfall.
So the five of them appear back into the present just in time to have dinner with their friends. And it's a happy ending and everybody's smiling. So this was your classic go back in time, experience the past, and come back to the future time travel subgenre. Not my favorite subgenre, but it can be interesting if you go back to an interesting time. And
yeah, I need to go into it knowing that. I can watch a time travel show or movie like that, but just let me know. Just say it's a period piece. We're going to do a little time travel in the beginning or the end, but everything in the middle is just going to be the 1700s.
I do have to admit, though, just time traveling to the future to experience it is more interesting to me than just going to the past to experience it.
Thank you for listening to episode 0 of Time Pop. It's not really episode 0, but it sounds like episode 0, so I'm going to keep calling it that. I hope you've enjoyed this. This really is some insight into Ari and I working through this idea in real time and hopefully landing on something that you guys enjoy and feel confident passing along to your friends. Please like and subscribe to Time Pop and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can enjoy a discussion of your own on the topic of time travel. If you would like to add to the podcast conversation, please email us at timepop9216@gmail.com. That's timepop9216@gmail. And tell us your thoughts about this or any other version of time travel and how you might use it. And definitely let us know about a time travel movie, book, game, etc. that we might discuss on a future episode. And if you would like to start your own discussion on the topic, please head over to Face Insta Twitter Book. We are at TPOP9216. That is at TPOP9216. And also check out SoundsAwesome9216.com to hear what else sounds awesome. Hopefully some new shows are going to continue to pop up on the network. I've got some ideas I'm working through, as well as trying to produce some other great ideas that will be a wonderful addition to the Sounds Awesome network. And now, back to the big finish.
So, those are the episodes. That's the one. We talked about it a little bit. What do you feel? So this is how time travel exists, the way Steve Urkel invented it. It doesn't exist any other way. There's no way to change it. You get this watch. Do you like it? Do you use it? Are you afraid of it?
I like when time travel uses a device. A device that you can carry with you wherever you go.
Yes.
I like that. It gives you a lot of, you know, gives you a way to go a lot of different places with it. So yeah, I liked how they did the time travel in the show. I like the effect that they used for the time travel.
You get to hula dance. I mean,
which for the time was probably a big deal.
Yes.
That bubble effect. Yeah, I liked this. I liked the lightheartedness of it. I liked that it, you know, it has the happy ending, mm-hmm. like Family Matters should. Yeah.
But if you have one of these watches, do you use it? I mean, obviously you're going to try it out, but just obviously this is our first episode, so we don't have a whole lot to compare it to that we've discussed, and we will be doing a lot of comparisons, but this is our one time travel device right now that we have to compare it
to. Yes,
our
first.
And this kind of time travel device, I like the idea of only me having it. And I know that's a thing to say.
So you would not make a copy for your girlfriend?
Oh.
You wouldn't give Kelly, your wife, a copy of your time travel
I watch would.
In case she has to save you, go back in time and save you from pirates?
I will make an... Yes. Well, I'm trying to see because I get scared. Because
good
I'm,
answer.
Okay, now I make two. Now who else wants one? Now I got to make this person one, because then what if she needs save? And then all of a sudden everyone's got one.
That's
so
true.
So I had to be careful. I was like, oh, she can come with me, mm-hmm. but don't want to start multiplying these devices. Yeah, this is... I don't know why, but this way, I just want to go goof off. Like, I don't want to do anything super nefarious, but this is just the kind of thing that I just want to go back a couple days and watch the Super Bowl again or something like that.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why. I don't want to go back and invest a ton of money, which, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but mm-hmm. this device just says, like, let's go goof off.
Yeah.
Let's go prank some people.
Which is kind of what they did with this show. I wrote some notes and I said, you know, if you had the ability to time travel, what do you do? Do you go back and benefit yourself by making yourself rich, or do you go back and change history for the better?
Yeah.
Which is a very heavy subject, which Family Matters is not going to get into. So of course they chose the more benefit yourself conundrum.
And the where I figure out if I'm going to use a time travel device or not is the, can I undo it? Is if I do go back and leave myself a note and things don't go well, can I just go back and burn up the note? Mm. Or have I created this horrible timeline that a version of me is always going to be forced to exist in? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to know that there's 1,000 of me and half of them hate life.
That's true. Well, that does bring up the somewhat well-known theory of the butterfly effect, where if you step on a butterfly in the past, it creates these ripples that change history to an unfixable degree. So there is that theory. Is that what you think of when you think of time travel?
Absolutely. If it's, again, a device that's undoable. This finally jumped in. I've been trying to think of this. Did you see 2266? What's that called? The Stephen King book they turned into a movie with James Franco, or a series with James Franco.
I did, yes. It's the date that Kennedy was shot.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
So that... which turned into a period piece, which really bummed me out, because the first episode of that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited mm-hmm. to watch this time travel device get used, and he used it 3 times.
Was it a device? It was like a portal. It was like a stationary...
But I loved the functionality of that, where you could go back and change something and then come back to the present and see what effect that had. Every time you went back, you reset it. I loved that device. And I would love, that would be my favorite. That's why I wanted to see him play with it more. Because I think if I had to choose a version of time travel that existed that I could use, I would want one that I could just wipe the whiteboard clean.
Okay.
If I just totally screwed up. And that gives you that possibility.
Yeah. So in that universe, the writer decided to choose the rules that every time you go back in time, it resets it as if you never went back before, which is an amazing kind of concept. or, you know, law to play with, mm-hmm. where, you know, no matter what you do, you can always go back and start over. No matter what the result is, you can always go back and reset it. That's a great rule.
Sorry, I'm just writing the word laws down.
Yeah.
Because these aren't going to be rules or guidelines. We're making laws.
Time travel laws, you know, yes, I mean, it's
absolutely.
And as the writer of the story, you get to choose what laws you're going to apply. And the one of the greatest things about time travel is you get to pick that because they're not real. Have you ever tried to write a time travel story?
I've never tried to write anything longer than a text.
A text? Like
No.
Like through your phone?
Yeah. No, I've written a little bit. Never might be a stretch, but I've certainly never gotten far and mm-hmm. tried to sit down mm-hmm. and write. And I'm trying to think. I know you've done some writing, and I know the one story. I know it was science fiction, but I couldn't remember if it went the time travel route. Yes.
The story. I've written one story from start to finish for time travel, and then I've played with concepts and theories.
Really?
But there's one, you know, it's one thing to watch time travel and think about it and let your brain kind of get that exercise. It's a whole other story to write it, because then you get to choose which laws or rules you want to apply, and it turns into this like, well, what does that mean if this, and what if that? Does it mean that we have a different timelines, and what happens if the two meet each other? And it's quite fun to be.
Where did you start?
In my story that I wrote. So I co-wrote a time travel story with a good friend of mine, and it was a historical fiction where you go back in time and change the past to benefit the future. So in true, you know, time travel fashion, we go back and forth a lot, which is my favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. Deciding what happens when the two people meet, deciding, you know, if it is a different timeline, but does that original timeline continue? And there's all these things you have to think about when you're writing time travel.
Do you have to address it now to get through this story, or can you kind of just leave the maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Because you almost have to know how it's going to end in order to.
That's why I was wondering where you started. Like, do you start at the end? Do you start with your device? Do you start? And obviously, you could start in any one of those. Mm-hmm. I was curious for mm-hmm. this story.
The hardest part about writing that was choosing which laws we wanted to use.
Yeah.
Which rules, which laws we wanted to use. It was quite fun.
So, Ari, tell me about yourself.
Oh, yes.
Tell them about yourself.
So I am a self-proclaimed futurist and great lover of anything science fiction. My favorite science fiction genre or subgenre, whatever you call it, is time travel. I have loved time travel from the very first time I saw something that was time travel, and I should remember what that was as a young child. But I...
just as simple, like I said, we're going to get to know you through chit chat. I just realized that we've been talking for an hour, and I don't know if we did a proper introduction.
So Desmond, so,
yes,
tell me about yourself.
My name is Desmond McNeese. I am a self-proclaimed time travel nerd. I love it. I think it just happened by accident. I just really like Back to the Future, and I really think it was as simple as a love of a movie and just watching it over and over. And I to this day will defend Back to the Future 2 to its death because of all the time travel jumping and the multiple timelines. And that, I think that's, I love Back to the Future 1 because it was an amazing movie, whether I knew it or not at a young age. And then Back to the Future 2 melted my brain as a 12-year-old, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And I just love the way you can tell a story with time travel. Like you can do so much with it, and it's amazing when it's done right. It's so easy to screw up. And also too, just to let the listeners know, we'll be doing things other than movies. We'll be doing some more TV shows. I know I'm going to lose half of our two listeners with this. I have not watched Doctor Who. I'm sorry.
Okay, I haven't either.
So there you go. That's what we have in common.
We have homework to do.
We're the biggest. We're going to become the biggest time travel podcast with the littlest Doctor Who knowledge out there. So we'll just wrap this up for now. And got anything cute to sign off with?
Time pop.
Time pop. Remember, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Did I do that? like,